This week on Vox Talks, could competition authorities do a better job of evaluating tech company mergers? Welcome to Vox Talks from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. Facebook, Google and Amazon have been on a merger spree in the last decade. The results have been great for them, but are they just as good for the consumer? An analysis of almost 300 transactions between 2008 and 2018, just published as a CEPR discussion paper, highlights some common features of the merger activity of major tech companies. And it has case studies too on mergers that show that traditional tests that authorities use to evaluate these deals may not be fully fit for purpose. Tommaso Dusso is a CEPR fellow and he's one of the authors of the paper. He joins us today from the German Institute of Economic Research to talk about this research, and we'll also be discussing what the competition authorities might do differently in future. Tommaso, welcome to Vox Talks.
Hello, Tim. Thank you for having me.
Is there a concern that too many tech mergers are just being waved through? And if so, who is worried?
Well, many people are worried. Academics, antitrust authorities, and policymakers around the globe are getting increasingly worried about the degree of market concentration, especially in tech markets, and also the growing power of few major tech companies, Amazon, Facebook, Google, and Microsoft. And surely merger and acquisitions, as well as the potential under-enforcement of merger control, have been pointed as one of the likely determinants of these trends. So although these companies have very different business models, they all grew in the past two decades by acquiring hundreds of startups. And most of these mergers were not scrutinized by any competition authority, and the very few that were notified were waved through quite easily.
One problem is that digital markets often have a very different structure to the markets that the authorities are usually scrutinizing. For example, in the paper, I notice you've distinguished competition for the market from competition in the market, which regulators have historically focused on. Why is this so important?
So we also use the term digital markets, though it's a bit blurry. What we generally mean when we talk about digital markets are multi-sided platforms. And these markets are characterized by very strong network effects. This means that the value that consumers derive from a product or a service depends on the number of other consumers who use the same product. This is an externality. Moreover, the value that one side of the market, say advertisers, derive by being on this platform also depends on the size of the user base on the different sides of the markets, say the consumers. And because of its very strong externalities, these platforms then have a natural tendency to reach a very concentrated structure, potentially tipping into monopoly. And this can be actually very efficient. So competition in these markets is not in the market, but it has a more dynamic nature. You compete to become the dominant platform for a very specific product or service. Therefore, to assure effective competition in a dynamic sense, it's very important that these markets stay open in the sense that the potential entry of innovative challengers should be possible. Because exactly this potential entry is what keeps the strong incumbent on their toes.
So is this difference by itself a good enough reason for regulators to reassess merger policy?
I don't think that merger policy itself should be completely reformed. However, there are some features, and one of these is the existence of these very strong network effects that might justify some changes in the way mergers in the sector are typically assessed. I mentioned so the two-sidedness or multi-sidedness of the market, but there are other important elements like the role of innovation, especially relevant, the role of data as a potential barrier to entry, and what I mentioned before, the role of sequential acquisition should be considered much more carefully than in other markets. And indeed, it was a bit surprising, actually. Just a few days ago, the U.S. Federal Trade Commission issued special orders to five large tech companies, requiring them to provide information about all those acquisitions that they made over the past 10, 15 years and were not reported to the antitrust agency. And this is a very unprecedented move. And I believe many, including me, are now very curious to see what comes next.
When competition authorities evaluate mergers, they look at the principle of consumer harm. And what consumer harms are particularly important when we're looking at digital mergers?
There are several ways how consumers might be harmed by mergers in tech markets, even in the presence of network effects, even in the presence of this natural tendency to monopolization. It might still be very valuable for consumers to have several substitutable products or services among which to choose. And this is especially true if multi-homing is possible, if it's possible for consumer to use substitute platforms at the same time. So in some markets it's possible, in some markets it makes less sense. Even if the products of the merging parties are not clearly competing against each other in terms of functionality at a given point in time, they could be likely to do so in the future. In these markets, it's very difficult for a firm to establish itself. So, and many markets are generated in the future. So we have a lot of new products and services. So it's very important to keep some of these firms that are not really competing among each other in the same product market at a given point in time. And finally, concern may also arise if network effects allow the merged entity to foreclose competitors by raising barriers to entry or expansion. And in this respect, the role of data might be really key.
These digital firms do collect a lot of consumer data. And so do they have an additional incentive to merge because of the increased amount of data that they can then pool about their existing users?
I think that is a possibility. The key task of many of these digital platforms is that of making some sort of predictions. And so the data used to make this prediction, and let's use another buzzword, so the big data, is becoming increasingly relevant to shaping the competition dynamics in these markets. So the data firm owns might enter the production process in several ways. So if you think data have a very different role for a firm like Apple than for a firm like Google and Facebook. So depending on how data enter this production process, the creation of a larger and especially more diverse data set can give the merged entity a competitive advantage that is potentially capable of foreclosing rivals. Therefore, the access to especially complementary data set can be a very important incentive to acquire other firms.
Startup digital firms are being bought at a very early stage at the moment by the dominant players. Now, if that reduces future competition by taking a potential superstar firm out of the market, then clearly that would choke off innovation. But can we possibly make that judgment with any confidence, considering the early stage at which these firms are being bought?
The definition of the so-called counterfactual to a merger is the key and most complex part of any competitive assessment in any merger case. As you rightly mentioned, it's especially difficult when the target, or one of the merging parties, generally the target, is a very, very young firm in the very early stage of its development. Sometimes these are firms that don't even have a real product in the market. They are just working on ideas. On the other hand, especially in markets that have such a strong dynamics where innovation is moving extremely quickly, predicting evolution is really essential to understand whether the merger will harm competition in this dynamic sense. Prediction of the evolution is key, and there may be improving the powers and the information gathering powers of the competition authorities could help to make a better judgment of whether this startup could become the challenging competitors. But I think the competition authorities will probably need to be willing to accept more uncertainty in the counterfactual, because these are markets where the evolution is more uncertain than, say, more traditional markets.
You've focused in the paper on two specific merger cases that did go through to evaluate whether you think the authorities are making the appropriate judgment. And first, Facebook's purchase of Instagram. Do you think they missed any important elements of the deal?
We are very careful in the assessment, in the report, and also in the paper, because a solid counterfactual analysis was even exposed particularly difficult.
Yes.
I think there are clear reasons to believe that Instagram's growth has significantly benefited from the integration with Facebook, and that consumer also benefited from this integration. So the number of users of both platforms, especially Instagram, increased. The time people spend on this platform increased. So it seems like consumer loved this platform. On the other hand, we also identified drawbacks in the decision. First of all, the definition of the relevant market focused probably too much on the app's functionality. The authorities concluded that the two apps were not competing against each other because Instagram was a photo app, Facebook was a social media, and therefore the merger would not have lessened competition. But the evidence available to the authorities at the time of the merger would not seem to be unambiguous in supporting this conclusion. There were some indications that Instagram could have become a social media itself. Focusing too much on functionalities led also the authorities to neglect some other important elements, like the role of consumer attention, the importance of data, but especially the role of competition on the other side of the market. This is where money is coming. And finally, also the incentive to foreclose were not carefully set out by the authorities. They thought that actually it would have not been a profitable strategy for Instagram to prevent interoperability with other platforms. And what we observe is that very quickly after the merger, Instagram did decrease interoperability.
Your other case study was Google's purchase of Waze. Again, can this decision be criticized?
Also there, we found some drawbacks. Especially, we think that the authorities were perhaps too cautious in the assessment of the evidence about whether Waze could have become an important potential competitor to Google Maps.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that we found problematic is the fact that the authorities relied a lot on Apple Maps as a source of competitive constraint on the merged entity. And this might have been overstated, because imagine if Google were to lower the quality of the product, Google Maps, only on Android, Android users would not have been able to switch. And finally, also here, we think that there was too little attention on monetization. So it was not sufficiently explored how the provision of navigation services provided by the merging parties were monetized.
Tommaso, we often ask our interviewees to be policymaker for a day, but instead we have a special mission for you. I'm going to ask you to be in charge of a competition authority for a day, but I'm going to give you the condition that you cannot change the existing legal framework. A day is not long enough for that. What tools that are at your disposal do you think could be better used to evaluate these mergers?
So this is probably the most difficult question to an academic economist. Competition policy enforcement is a slow process, sometimes a too slow process. So one day is not enough, so you have to give me at least 1 year. What we also learned from this study is that you have to look very, very carefully at how the market work in this market are complex, and the dynamics are different depending on whether you are talking about Google or Amazon. So these are very, very different firms, and this has to be analyzed very carefully. So according to my experience from these and other valuation studies that I have conducted, also for our antitrust authority, and also from my research on merger policy, I think that if at all we have an issue of under-enforcement rather than over-enforcement, so in cases like the one we analyze, so Facebook, Instagram, Google Waze, they should have tried to find remedies. It's not easy. I think that would be what I would try to do. I understand that it's clearly much easier said than done. And the big difficulty is that the theory of harm in merger cases needs to be very well motivated to stand in court.
Ultimately, though, considering all the other ways in which these firms diverge from historical business models, might it be better just to create a different legal framework to evaluate tech firm mergers?
We might need a different legal framework, and this is indeed the core of a very, very intense discussion over the past 2 years that was informed by stakeholders from academic economists and law scholars, policymakers, experts from the industry, and several, I think, very important reports for the European Commission in the US, for the Stigler Center at the University of Chicago, in many countries like the UK, in Germany, in Australia. So important reports have been written, and some of them indeed suggest the setup of a kind of new regulator, or call it a digital authority, and a much more prominent role of regulatory ex-ante rules. Some others are a bit more moderate and reluctant to suggest ex-ante regulation, pointing at the difficulty to regulate something that is difficult to really grasp. Yet, I think all of them calls for some reforms. So in Germany, where I live, some changes have already been implemented. For instance, the thresholds for notification in the past 2 or 3 years. While others, so especially the discussion on the role of data and the power of the competition authority vis-a-vis dominant companies, are discussed within the current reform of competition law. I think the legal framework has been partially already adapted, and it will be adapted further in the next years.
Well, this is going to be an area that's going to be very interesting in the next few years. So we'll be looking out for this, and we'll probably be speaking to you again, Tommaso. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim.
Now, the paper is called Merger Policy in Digital Markets, an Ex Post Assessment. It is CEPR Discussion Paper 14166. Authors are Elena Argentesi, Paolo Bucirossi, Emilio Calvano, Tommaso Dusso, Alessia Marazzo, and Salvatore Nava. This has been a Vox Talk from the Center for Economic Policy Research. There are new episodes every week, so if you want to hear about the most interesting new economic research, subscribe on your podcast platform. And catch up with past episodes at foxeu.org/vox-talks.